195 of the Hodgepodge Podcast. I'm your host, Doug.
I'm Dirty A. As the name suggests, we're going to talk about a hodgepodge of topics from movies, It's movies.
And on this episode, we'll be discussing the films The Dead Don't Die, The Shaft 2019. What'd you see? Men in Black International. And Late Night. You can reach us at thehodgepodgepodcast@gmail.com or over on our website, thehodgepodgepodcast.com, or look for us on iTunes and YouTube and subscribe, or head on over to Facebook, search for The Hodgepodge Podcast, and like our page. And if you want to listen to some of our older episodes, like the really old episodes, go to my website, jdouglassimpson.com, because that's where the archive is.
And you can buy the book.
And buy my book! You can find that there, too. Our Game of Thrones episode is quickly falling apart. Because the two bums that I wanted to come and talk on the show are backing out. And I'm pretty sure Matt and I aren't just going to talk to ourselves about Game of Thrones. So
that's what we do.
Well, that's true. That's what we do. But we, you know, and maybe we will. I don't know. We'll see. We'll definitely be having a conversation.
I think I'm going to go see yesterday.
When is that?
I don't know. But I got a screener tomorrow.
For tomorrow? What time? Where?
North Hills.
It's at North Hills? You got an extra pass?
Yeah.
Well, maybe I'll go. It's better than going to Garner. I do know one thing. One thing we'll all be talking about soon is The Wire. Because Dirty A is almost finished.
Well, I got a whole other season to go.
That season's shortened. It's a shortened season.
It's still 10 episodes.
Still. It's 3 episodes less. See what they did? Shortened season. Still 10 episodes.
You're right.
Take a page, Game of Thrones. This weekend, the box office, Men in Black International won, I guess. Not a very resounding victory.
Avengers finally falls below the top 10.
Oh, yeah.
It's almost done.
It is.
It's not making... But like $500,000 a day now.
No!
Maybe it's $46 million away. It's not gonna make it.
Well, Matt and I tried. We went to go see it last week.
I'm sorry, that was $46 million.
Not $46.
Right.
What opens this week? Toy Story 4 opens this week. And
real quick, we're watching RoboCop in the background. I love how this guy just gets blown away in the background. But they're like, ah, this thing's fine. We're going to move forward. Anyway.
Everybody get out of the way. No, get away from me. He's like, stand still.
It's fine. I like how none of the glass in the back is breaking.
Yeah, right? That must be some high-powered bulletproof glass.
And he's just like, that's his look.
Yeah.
Oh, what a technological disaster.
The paperwork's going to be hell on this.
Anyway.
Maybe we should start doing that. Maybe we should start doing commentaries on movies.
Yeah, riffing. I've said that before. We should just riff a movie, but then we'd have to...
sync it up and
yeah,
all that crap.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah, so Toy Story 4 opens up this weekend. It's getting 100% Rotten Tomatoes. As of right now, with 80-some-odd reviews, which is, you know...
expected.
And a movie that has not yet had its reviews is the perfect companion piece.
Child's Play,
which also comes out this weekend. We got to figure out when we're going to go see that.
Why do you want to see Child's Play?
Because it's a stupid, fun...
horror movie.
You're coming around.
You're coming around. It's a slasher. A slasher is a horror movie, damn it. Now you're just picking at straws.
Mark Hamill's in it. It can't be all bad. Aubrey Plaza's in it. Can't be all that. And one of my favorite actors right now, Brian Tyree Henry, is in it. And the doll. The robot doll. No, the trailer looks fun. It looks like it's fun. I'll be cackling.
A real romp.
I'll be cackling.
No, no, that's what Campbell will be cackling.
Yes. What else is going on? Oh, Zack Snyder released a picture of Darkseid. You're about 4 years too late on that one, buddy.
Like, after no one cares at all.
There's a lot of people that are like, that really like want that to still happen. The Snyder cut. Go fuck yourselves.
Let it go. Yeah. Because, man, it's gone.
Yeah, that movie was terrible. What else? That's about it.
You also know it's the future because, look, square cups.
Yeah, we were just remarking that it's the future, but their cars are still very very much 80s. 80s. Look at those cars back there.
Yeah.
It's got the wood paneling and everything.
Square cups.
Ooh, it is a square cup.
All right.
Let's talk about The Dead Don't Die first, I guess, since that's the movie we saw. We both saw. The other movies we saw individually. Dead Don't Die is Jim Jarmusch's new film. And Jim Jarmusch, if anything, is an eclectic filmmaker.
Yeah, his last one, not exactly a zombie film.
You mean vampire film? Wait, which one? This one?
No, the one before this. The,
Oh, Patterson.
Yeah.
He did Patterson. Yeah. I thought you were saying it was a zombie film that wasn't a zombie film.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Okay, I see what you're saying now. And he also did the one I was thinking of was Only Lovers Left Alive. But that was before Patterson. Yeah, that was before Patterson.
But anyway, like starkly different.
Yeah.
Type of movie.
This one is very much a comedy, but it's a very droll comedy. It's very
all the humor is extremely dry.
Yes, and the pace is very lethargic.
Yeah.
It's
on purpose.
On purpose. If that is your thing, you will like this movie a lot.
I enjoyed it.
I liked it a lot. The ending was kind of shitty, but
it was very meta.
Right. Oh yeah.
Throughout the movie.
Basically, the basic plot is that it's this small town.
I believe the basic plot is the dead don't die.
Yes. Why is this song so familiar? It's the opening song. It's the theme song. but the basic plot is that in this small town, what's it called? Centerville, something like that.
Centerville, yes.
In this small town of like 700 people or something like that, in the background, they're talking about something called polar fracking and how it's basically knocked the Earth off its axis. And so now weird shit's happening. And one of the things that's happening is that the dead are coming back to life. And Bill Murray plays the chief of police of, you know, it's a police department of three people. And it's him, Adam Driver, and Chloe Sevigny. Great cast in it. Danny Glover owns the hardware shop. I forget the kid's name that owns the gas station or runs the gas station.
Yeah, I can't either. He was in X-Men First Class.
He was Banshee. Tilda Swinton is the weirdo who runs the funeral home now. The chick from Reno 911 is the cafe waitress, the diner waitress. I forget her character's name in Reno 911, the dark haired one.
Mm-hmm.
Selena Gomez is in this as well. Driver, Bill Murray, Tilda Swinton, they've all been in Jarmusch's films before. Bill Murray was in Broken Flowers, Tilda Swinton was in Only Lovers Left Alive, and then Adam Driver was in Patterson. So basically, it's Iggy Pop is also in this, and Steve Buscemi. I forgot about Steve Buscemi too. Farmer friend's an asshole. So whatever he calls it, Farmer Miller's a fuck Farmer Miller. It's And that's really all there is to it. It's just a, it's a very slow moving
good chicken thing.
Good chicken though. Yeah, good chicken. Oh, and Tom Waits is in it too. As what do they call him? Hermit Bob.
Hermit Bob. Hey Cliff.
Fuck you. It's a very slow moving film, but it's really funny. In parts, it's really funny. It's just the whole atmosphere. Like Adam Driver, just like kind of doesn't like take it all seriously too much. Like he does, but he doesn't.
Whoa.
Right.
Well, he knows what's gonna happen.
Right. This is all gonna end very badly. Yeah, it's a fun little movie. It's different for Jarmusch. It's different because, I mean, Only Lovers Left Alive.
He's not even like a fan of zombies or zombie movies.
Yeah,
it's weird.
Yeah.
I don't know why did he write this movie too, or was I don't understand why he'd be pegged to direct it.
What did you think, Abby? What did you think of the movie?
It stinks.
Yes, he did write this. Okay. He did write this.
Which is weird on another front.
Like, I think he writes all his stuff.
Why would he write a zombie movie? But it's because it's not really a zombie movie.
Right.
It's an allegory on...
what's going on in the world today.
On everything in the world today and how we're socioeconomically destroying everything.
Right. Yeah, so it was... it's not for everybody. It's definitely
Rosie
not for everybody. Oh yeah, for Rosie Perez in it too. I mean, it's a great gigantic cast. But it's definitely not for everybody. But if you like, droll comedies, you'll probably like this. But if you're looking for something that's like a laugh a minute or something like that, it's not. You know what else we didn't talk about? We gotta talk about Stuber.
Oh yeah.
Fuck yeah, Stuber. Yeah, we gotta talk about Stuber. I know it comes out like in July, but was that Murphy?
Yeah.
Anyway,
they're fucking up Murphy.
Well, he's got to become RoboCop somehow.
It's Ray Wise. I'll admit him.
Huh?
Ray Wise.
Oh, okay. Now we're just watching.
Anyway, yeah, where are you? You're now this silence. You're watching. You're listening to us while we watch a movie.
I'll edit yeah, that. Yeah. Silence.
All right. Anyway.
Check
out The Dead Don't Die. It's a pretty good movie.
Yeah, but it's not a laugh a minute, for sure.
I mean, it was for us. I laughed
a lot. Well, I laughed a lot, but it wasn't a laugh a minute. A movie that is a laugh a minute, which I can't believe I forgot, because
it technically hasn't come out yet.
This is an early review of Stuber. With
dumbest name ever.
With Kumail, yeah, it is, but it has. It makes sense in the plot of the movie.
Yeah, still.
Yeah,
the best name for it would have been Rideshare.
Yeah. Stars Kumail Nanjiani
and Dave Bautista.
People, when I posted about this movie, that how funny it was, people were shocked. They were like, this movie's good? And I'm like, yeah, it's really good. Stuber is one of the funniest movies of the summer.
This movie is absolutely completely tongue in cheek. Like it's just all about the jokes, right?
They, yeah,
wherever they can fit in the joke.
Yeah,
and but. In a good way. Like, the jokes work.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they even make some of the jokes from the trailer funnier.
Yes.
You think you know what's coming, and then something else happens. You're like, oh, this is even funnier.
Yeah. Really, really funny film. Directed by Michael Dowse and written by Tripper Clancy. It's about Dave Bautista plays a cop. Who he's been tracking down this drug lord for a long time.
His partner is killed.
Right, in the beginning of the movie.
And so then he's got it out. I mean, he had it out for this guy before, but right. Now he's like got a real hard on for this criminal.
And then that happens in the beginning of the movie, which is set like a couple years in the past or months in the past, six months.
It was 6 months. And then
The movie, what happens is that he has to go get LASIK for his eyes because his eyes are bad, which is something they hammer home in the beginning of the movie. So he goes to get LASIK, and he can't
out of surgery, basically.
Right.
He's got a tip.
Yeah.
On the guy. So
he can't drive because he can't see. He can't drive. So he has to call. He has to get an Uber, and then enter Kumail Nanjiani, who plays the Uber driver,
who just craves Foster ratings. And yeah. I don't understand how he had a 4.8 rating when everyone we saw gave him like 1 star.
Yeah, right.
Like, that doesn't track at all.
But it was.
You know what? I don't think he's still alive right here. This bullshit. They lit him up.
So what happens is that he essentially kidnaps Kumail Nanjiani, and he forces him to drive him around Los Angeles, trying to track this guy down. And it's really funny. It's really, really funny.
There's no point in giving away.
We don't want to give away any of the jokes. But trust us, it is very R-rated because there's a lot of violence in it. It's almost like action movie violence in it. But it's hilarious.
It's one of those movies that could easily have gone either way, and it definitely tipped the scales toward being a really fun movie.
Yeah, it could have been terrible. Yeah. It could have been terrible, but it's so fucking funny. You definitely need to check out Stuber. That comes out in July. I want to say it's July 12th.
I will say the only... and this is odd to say given... he's got such a dry sense of humor in like Guardians, but he does feel so out of place in comedy. The straight-up comedy, Dave Bautista.
Right. Well, he's very much the straight man.
But he is a straight man.
Yeah.
But I mean, even as a straight man, it just... He feels like he's still got a lot to learn in how he can play comedy.
Right.
Even whether it's as a straight man or not. But yeah. It's a very good movie. And
he does a great job. He does a great job.
He's definitely like the next Rock.
Yeah, he is. I mean, he's really... And he does a lot... A lot more different things than The Rock does. Like, he's got a movie coming out where he's like an FBI agent and the kid... makes them or something like that when they're on a stakeout, and that seems like it's very much in the vein of The Rock. But The Rock would never do something like this, a super R-rated comedy. That
you don't think so?
Mm-mm. No, I don't think so. Central Intelligence wasn't R, was it? It was PG-13, wasn't it?
No, that would have been PG-13. I'm pretty sure.
He wouldn't do something like Blade Runner, 2049, The Rock.
Bautista was briefly in there.
Yeah, And is Bautista going to be in Dune, I think, too? He is going to be in Dune. Yeah. I mean, so The Rock wouldn't do that either. So it's like... But you got to remember also with Dave Bautista, as far as Blade Runner goes, they actually did a short film with him as well.
Oh, sure.
The pre-short film.
To lead up to the movie.
Which he was really good in that, too. So
he was
like,
basically in the opening scene of 2049.
Right, yeah, when they introduce Ryan Gosling. So, Dave Bautista... you know, he's turning into a real decent actor. You know, out of his wrestling.
Oh, it's not. That's not a surprise, really. I mean, wrestling is acting.
Yeah, but John Cena is a terrible actor. So
I'm not saying everyone, but I mean
Hulk Hogan is also a terrible actor.
It hardly can be a surprise that a wrestler can act,
right?
Because it's all acting anyway.
Oh,
fall back, lose your balance, fall back. There you go.
Stop watching RoboCop. So definitely check out Stuber. That one's highly recommended. Now let's talk about the movies we saw separately. What did you think of Men in Black?
It was entertaining, but it's hard to call it
good.
Good. I mean, if you like the other ones, you're going to like this one, that's for sure, right? Mm. And the last one, I think it's better than the last one.
Okay.
So, you know, it's certainly not all bad. I'm not sure what I would actually, you know, rate it, but, you know, if you like the other ones, it's going to be worth your time to see it in the theater because it's in the same vein.
Right.
I called the other half of the movie about halfway through.
Mm-hmm. Were we right?
Oh, yeah. That's hardly even a question. Come on. Come on, man. That's not even a question.
I was hoping they would prove us wrong.
Yeah. But I called the other part of that.
Oh, okay.
Which they hammered home immediately at the beginning of the movie. And I went and saw it with a friend, and I was like, I think this is what's going to happen. He was like, maybe, but I think maybe this. I was like, you wait. I was like, called it! But, Tessa Thompson stars as, like, she's the newbie who, she's grown up her whole life tracking down aliens and trying to find the Men in Black, because as a kid, she, out her window, kind of shows it in the trailer,
right,
her parents are neuralized, their minds are wiped, and hers is not.
Right.
So she knows that aliens exist. And then she finally tracks down Men in Black, gets the job, gets paired up with Chris Hemsworth, who is like
the hotshot.
He's the hotshot pretty boy who's kind of skated by on the fact that he and Liam Neeson's character like saved the planet.
Mm-hmm.
So he's kind of skated by on that. But he's kind of he's very much the party guy. He's not your typical man in black.
Right.
And then, you know, they go out on their typical mission, and then they are at one point framed and have to you know, kind of go out on their own a little bit. But it's pretty standard
Man
in Black type of, it's humor for sure.
Right.
No big surprises.
For us.
Yeah, you know. if you like Men in Black, see it. If not, no need. I mean, if you're on the fence, probably no need.
Is Kumail the best part?
Probably, yeah. Yeah, and Kumail Nanjiani also in this movie as a voice actor of Pawnee.
Yeah.
He's
Pawnee.
That's what they named him.
Yeah,
technically, right. He doesn't have a name.
Right.
Because pawns don't have names. Oh. He's like, he's just a, he's a soldier for a queen.
Right. So. All right. Maybe
whatever.
I might check it out.
No,
I saw another movie that was entertaining, but I can't really classify it as good either, and that is the next iteration of Shaft. Sam Jackson is back as Shaft, but the movie is really more about. Yeah, you're not supposed to lean out of the thing like that when the range is hot. The movie's really about Shaft Jr. I forget who plays him.
Junior Shaft. Small Shaft.
Jesse T. Usher.
Is he also one bad mother?
No.
No.
He is very much a modern day guy. He's, we'll say, woke. He's very much...
PC type.
He's more PC, yeah. And he's also...
The clash. He's generational also, clash.
He's also... he works for the FBI as an IT guy. Like, he's like an analyst, basically. Like an IT data analyst and stuff.
Oh, I
like
see.
That.
So he's not even like in a police department.
No, he's FBI. But he's not an agent. Regina Hall plays Junior's mother, a former love interest of Shaft, and this new actress who I've never seen before, Alexandra Shipp, is in this. Oh, wait, she's Storm in the X-Men. They just never use her. She's really good in this. She plays Junior's...
Does she have her accent?
No, she doesn't. Oh. She plays Junior's friend, childhood friend, basically.
And it's like, is Richard Roundtree about in this as much as he was the last one?
Like, yeah, he he's only in it like in the third act. Yeah. It's mostly about Sam Jackson and Jesse Usher trying to like forge a relationship, basically, because the mother in the beginning takes him away from Shaft because Shaft's life gets them into danger, basically. But who's the cat who won't cop out when there's danger all about? Shaft.
Shut up.
Shaft.
Shut up.
So the reason why I say it's entertaining is that this Shaft is it's not really like a noir like the other Shafts. It's very much a comedy, this one, and it's
which is not really in the vein of what Shaft is supposed to be.
Right. I mean, it's definitely funny. I laughed a lot in it, but it blows my mind when the kid basically, you know, goes to his father and he's like, you can't do that. And, you know, and Sam Jackson's constantly complaining about millennials and all like the tropes about the young people and all this kind of stuff. And then the movie basically sides with him and not the kid. And you're just like, what the fuck? It's like, what the fuck is this? Because the kid's right. The kid's in the right. So that's what I couldn't... Like, there's a lot of eye-rolling...
It's like in the original one when they side with the racists.
I guess. Yeah, right. So it's like, you know, there's a lot of moments where I rolled my eyes. I'm just, come on. But it is funny. It is entertaining. Of course, in the end of the movie, when they start playing the Shaft theme song, they then ruin it by having some rapper rap on it instead of it being Isaac Hayes.
I think they did that in the first one too, though.
And then the Sam Jackson one?
I think so.
I don't remember. I thought they stuck to the Isaac Hayes one.
No.
But anyway, it ruined the theme. I was like, what are you doing? So anyway, wait for Shaft on Netflix or something like that. Don't rush out to the theater to go see it. Awesome. The other movie I saw, actually the same night I saw Shaft, I did a double header. I saw Late Night.
So it was a late
night. It was a late night. It was a late night because I didn't have to go to work the next day. Directed by Nisha Ganatra and written by Mindy Kaling of The Office fame and what was her show called? The Mindy Kaling show, right? The Mindy Project. Mindy Project. Mindy Project. And Emma Thompson. They're the two leads in this. Basically, Emma Thompson plays... she's essentially the female David Letterman. She's been a talk show host for like 30 years or whatever, and it's brought to her attention that she has no female writers in her writing staff, and so they hire Mindy Kaling as a basically like a token hire, and she tries to make her mark on the show and shake things up and stuff like that. So yeah, so she's trying to shake things up, and it's a very it's a weird movie because it's funny. I felt it was a little too preachy at times, because they really really harp on gender equality and all that kind of stuff, which is great. Obviously, that's we need that, but. It was constantly about, you know, white guys don't get it and all this stuff. And it was like, it's like, okay, yeah, I get it. But they kept on harping on it.
No, you don't get it.
No, I do get it.
Because you're a white guy.
No, they kept on harping on it, though, which it made it feel a little preachy at times. But the other problem I had with this is that I didn't really know who the main character was. Was it Mindy Kaling or was it Emma Thompson?
Was there one clear antagonist?
Sort of. Like, because she was... Emma Thompson was, like, Mindy Kaling's antagonist, like, Devil Wears Prada type stuff, but then she had her own antagonist in Amy Ryan, who plays the network head. So it was very odd. I mean, yes, you can have two main characters, but it's like, whose story is this? That's kind of like what I'm going for there. Like, whose story is this? And that was
Emma Kaling's story.
So that was kind of odd. It kind of took me not out of the movie, but I was just like, when you don't know who or what you're rooting for, it's like you kind of lose interest a little.
That's
bit.
Why I was asking if there was an antagonist.
Yeah, John Lithgow's in this. He plays Emma Thompson's husband.
Oh, there's your antagonist. Okay.
No, he's not. Hugh Dancy is in this. He plays one of the writers. Reed Scott from Veep. He's in this. He plays the head monologue writer. Dennis O'Hare, Max Casella. It's a pretty stacked cast. Amy Ryan, as I mentioned. It's
The Wire fame.
Yes. Yeah. Beatty. I mean, I liked it. I didn't dislike it, but I was expecting it to be really great, and I didn't think it was great. I thought it was just okay. It
wasn't Frosted Flakes.
It wasn't Booksmart. It was. You know, if you want to watch, you know, female empowerment, you know, movie, go see. That's funny. Go see Booksmart. Yeah, it's about... Yeah, what are you making a face for?
I don't know. Female empowerment.
Yeah, it is.
Two girls getting high.
It's a what? That's not what the movie's about. You gotta watch that movie again.
I don't.
So, yeah. So, good, not great. You don't have to rush out and go see it. It's an Amazon movie, I believe, so it'll be on Prime probably by the end of this year, I would think.
Probably. Probably a few months.
I don't know. They seem to take a long time to get them on there.
Maybe. I mean, it's not like it's lighting up the box office. So.
Well, I mean, that's true. But it was also only out for 1 week so far, or 2 weeks. It was limited release the first week, and that's basically it.
Good times.
Anything to add?
No.
God, you're losing it. You're losing your touch. Definitely see Stuber.
See? Agreed.
If you feel like it's your thing, go see Dead Don't Die, Shaft, Men in Black, and Late Night. You can probably wait.
Give them all the Shaft.
You can give them all the Shaft and wait till Netflix or whatever. Next episode, who knows? It was supposed to be Game of Thrones. Then I got screwed. So, we'll see. Probably Toy Story, I would think, and its companion piece, Child's Play. But until then, we'll see you next time. Thanks for listening.